Welcome to episode 345 of the Countdown Podcast, where I am running late, but we're all here for you right damn now. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Welcome to the podcast. We count down movies and sometimes television in order of awesomeness so you don't have to. And today's topic comes from our guest.
Yes.
Our returning guest to the show. He's an all-around top fella. He's got one of the most in-depth and analytical podcasts you'll ever find. And occasionally I darken his doorstep. So it was time to return the favor. Jason from the Binge Movies Podcast, welcome back to the Countdown.
What's up, son?
I am so excited to do top 10 best moments of Halloween Kills. I had to narrow it down from 67, but I got it down to 10. Wayne, I just want to talk to you about Halloween Kills all fucking day long. And I'm going to try to out-profane you. And since this is Australia, I can finally say this word, which I've been wanting to say for a long time. Plug your ears, American listeners. The word is cunt.
Do you not use it so much over there?
The only person that says cunt on my podcast is Paul.
So. Bitch, please.
Oh, fuck off.
Anyone who's Jason's net listeners who don't usually listen to us, Paul doesn't understand comedy, so he actually plays sound bites of myself back at myself, and no one knows what's going on.
Eat my
because
ass!
Paul is a bitch! He's doing it now! So I'm sorry about all of that, everyone, but... maybe you can subsist on the comedy Jason and I bring.
I now say, eat all the asses, man, on my podcast, because I hear it so often on your podcast. So I now imitate Wayne on his own soundboard. I do an imitation of the soundboard on my podcast. So I think the soundboard...
See, it just interrupts the fucking flow.
It kind of does.
It really
does.
But
I'm happy to be back. I got us off track. I'm sorry. Paul, of course, as always, I love you. Wayne, you're a sexy, sexy man.
Very kind.
Really?
yeah, the last time I was on here, I realized how attractive you were, and I've been thinking about you ever since, so I'm glad to be back.
Well, now that I see you again, you've become even more attractive to me. So what are you going to do? This is just a love-in, everyone.
It is. And the topic today, then, to get to that, the Jason shows. Now, you can walk us through this, because it's caused Wayne and I confusion. It caused our... listeners in the Facebook listener community, links in the show notes if you want to get in board.
We had a little bit of a bitch fight about it. We were like, so wait a minute.
Yeah.
It's top box office flops. Does that mean the more money it lost, the higher it goes up? That's a very linear list. It's not very interesting. And Paul said, no, no, no.
I clarified Jason. And Jason, yes. What did you say?
What I said I wanted to do was top 10 of the 2010s. But nobody understood that at all.
No.
It's a lot of 10s.
It was too meta. Too meta, they said. So
correct.
I said, well, then let's just do flop movies. Let's just do movies that have... the biggest flops of the decade. And I thought that was pretty clear and concise. And leave it to Paul to get it all muddled. And you overthought it, Paul. You overthought the brief. It's just movies that fucking flop. This is the Countdown. Put them in any goddamn order you want to. It's a circus. We're here for controversy. Controversy creates cash. That's why you two are the best fucking podcasters in Australia.
Oh,
and
right.
Probably second best in the world. And... I don't understand the confusion. Basically, here's what we're going to do. We're going to say these movies are flops, either because they didn't make money, most of them, or they flopped because there were such expectations from the fan base. It didn't live up. That's all this is about. It didn't live up to either studio bean counter expectations or human being expectations.
I think we can all work with that.
That's fine. I also added the element of these films were really shit. So
yeah, because you want to be passionate.
In my heart.
Exactly. Exactly.
I think that I'm going to then upset the balance here because I've got movies that people think are great.
Ooh,
there's always going to be that.
That are still fucking flops.
Absolutely. There's going to be people, detractors, other people with no eyes, that disagree with how you think it's a bag of ass. But that's why the show is good, see?
Some of the content
exactly.
At the end in Pop 10, you'll get where the listeners also got like, what? But we'll get there. And we'll get there on the other side of a segment which kicks off every episode. It's called The Recount.
Who wants a recap? Who wants a recap? Who wants a recap? Who wants a recap?
I love that Jason was bobbing his head that whole time to that thing, just like me. How we roll, son. The countdown.
I'm not just a guest, man. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm not just a guest. I'm a fan.
Well, this is our newsroom, folks. So Paul's about to tell us some shit that happened this week.
Not so much newsroom as it is reactions to what's taking place. And last week we did the top 10 TV drama characters, which even though it itself caused a bit of controversy as to what was and what was not
drama.
And also, Facebook continues to cause controversy by constantly changing the way the fucking polls work in its groups.
We don't understand how it works.
So, Facebook, just bring it back to where people just vote on whatever it is, and then I don't have to click on a vote, because then people think that I'm cheating when I click on a vote to see, and then it won't let me unclick on that vote. So I had to make Wayne go and vote for himself after I voted for myself.
Exactly. And more importantly, Paul now cannot see who voted for who.
I know.
Which means he cannot, like, direct his ire in particular directions.
That's right.
Which is very bad.
It's not as much fun. So, for example, Chris Yeeney here, he said, I like Wayne's List because he acknowledges that TV existed before the turn of the century, and because fuck Lost.
See? Perfect.
That said, still respect Lost and its characters, and Jack Bauer saves the day.
Jack Bauer
So I don't know who he voted for.
Yeah, see? And it kills Paul, because it doesn't matter, Paul. All that matters is the number at the end. In fact, in my world, that doesn't even matter. I just want you to listen. Word.
Well, that's true. Josh Raglan said, I'm back on the Prizula voting block. For some reason, I forgot how great Locke was in Lost. Thanks for reminding me, Paul. You are welcome, Josh, and you are welcome, everyone, for that.
Why, how nice.
Jamie Davey said, Paul's List was vastly superior, so got the vote. But credit where credit's due, Wayne's Lex Luthor pick was inspired.
Word.
Smallville is definitely more of a drama than anything else.
My man!
This one annoyed me.
Oh, please.
Erica San Pedro. I've watched more on Paul's List, but feel compelled to vote for Wayne. Full stop.
See, and I've always had a thing for Erica, so that works. That works totally.
There we go. All right, anyway, the end result was, it was a bit of a shellacking. I won with 69% of the vote, 55 votes, to your 30% or 31%, 24 votes.
Totally fingered.
Taking, I think, to 17 or 16 or 16 or 15.
All right.
Next week you'll win. Let's just like to keep it close into December.
Sure.
All right. Well, that said, it'll be hard to vote this week because Jason will be the third wheel, the third variable.
Third wheel.
So he will steal some votes. Maybe he's just going to crush this list and make us all seem like whiny bitches. Little bitches. Yes.
Which, frankly, I'm hoping for.
I want to throw some love also to the Vegemite Challenge.
Oh, yes.
Which I haven't had time to put the list together for this week. So going to do that next week. We're going to draw the winner of the Vegemite Challenge. Jason, have you ever tried Vegemite before?
I have. It's filth.
many would agree with you. Many do agree with you.
I think Wayne brought up the point of adding butter. Was that you, Wayne?
Very important, like,
put
yes.
Put some butter in there. Yeah, it's just salt.
Wait, you had it without butter?
Oh, that's how, yeah.
Oh, I'm American. No.
I don't know what the
that's
fuck
Paul
I'm
Prizula's
doing.
Way, and that motherfucker's a freak. Yeah. So, yeah.
Oh,
no.
I lathered on Nutella style, and ooh. I was like, ooh. Oh, this must be good.
You're not, even I wouldn't enjoy it that way.
Too much.
So. Yeah, you got to work your way up to that. That's like a mastery level.
Lots of butter, some Vegemite. That's how it rolls.
I free based Vegemite.
Oh, dude.
I haven't
dude.
Been the same since.
It's like a salt dick in your ass, for really. It's just too much. It's too much.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of our listeners who took this, at least a good 7 or 8 of them, who went really hardcore. And some people were making new
fucking spaghetti with Vegemite, Vegemite all kinds of
really
shit.
Going out there. So I'm going to put all their names into the draw and then send a countdown prize pack to the winner, which we'll draw on episode 346. So if you haven't taken the challenge yet, then get on to it. If you're an internationalist, if you are domestic, I don't know if they're still doing it. You had to eat some Domino's Vegemite pizza, which is what started this whole thing.
Yeah.
In the first place, Jason's face.
I know, right?
Classic.
I mean, just eating Domino's pizzas, enough, throwing Vegemite on it. I mean, maybe it's better in Australia, but god damn,
I'm
Domino's.
Guessing it's not. Woo. I'm guessing it's not.
Well, also send some love out to Gidget Von LaRue, who has been writing her lists down hand and then scoring our scores in each of these.
Man, that's commitment. I love that.
So she's from the Retro Cinema Podcast. Check that one out if you haven't already. And finally, this one I throw open to both of you. This is a little bit of news, actually. How have you reacted to the news that David Chase has finally confirmed what happened at the end of The Sopranos?
Has he really, though?
In its final episode.
I read that, and it seems like he's taking the piss. What did he say? He said some shit like, Tony didn't get drilled in the diner.
No, I read that he did. There was a proper article where he said that, yeah, he was always meant to die. He's not a good bloke.
Oh, I must have read an Onion article or something.
Right.
So he said that Tony died in the diner.
Tony got whacked.
When the camera cuts, he got whacked. Yep. What about the fam? Did he tell you about the fam?
No, nothing about the fam. Just
God
Tony
damn
died.
It.
So how do you feel about that?
I don't know. I feel like, guy, this is a fever dream because I feel like he was interviewed like 8 years ago and already said this. Why is this news?
Well, he said years ago, I remember reading this, he said that he was in like Europe when the episode dropped.
That's
and
right.
He got all these phone calls. He said, no, the whole point of me ending it ambiguously is that lots of cinema and TV now leads you to a very proposed and prescribed condition of end.
A definitive end.
Yeah, he doesn't like a definitive end. He wanted it to be up in the air. Now, he just said that Tony got killed. I don't know, man. I hope Meadow makes it out. She's so nice.
Yeah, he did not comment on anyone else.
AJ can get drilled. Fuck that little bit. So,
so you're comfortable with that as the conclusion then, Jason?
I just always assumed he was killed there, and if not there at some point. I thought that ending was saying, well, if it's not, because there's so many different instances at the end of that scene where it could have been the moment he was killed and fade to black. Like, eventually this guy's going to fucking die. If it's not here, if not this night, some other day somewhere. So not surprised, no. I swear to God, he came out in a different interview after the conclusion and was like, yeah, he's dead. I swear. But I
never read that,
up.
But yeah, hey, who knows? Okay. Who knows?
That was an interesting little part.
That could have been a Vegemite hallucination.
Induced. There was a little part where he said that most episodes start with him going to New York.
Yep, the drive.
Yep. Whereas this episode, it basically culminates with him coming back to New Jersey. And that's his final. That was your big sort of clue, other than the way it's all shot in that final diner scene, of course. But okay.
Fair enough.
Just thought you were very strong on that you really liked the ending.
I didn't know that he actually said that, so there you are. News on the hour.
All right, and that's it for the recount today. Let's get into the topic proper. On the other side of this music cue, the top 10 box office flops, the 2010s, or whatever the hell Jason fucking qualified it as.
Good luck putting that on a card. Don't stop believing. Hold on to that feeling. Streetlight people.
Don't stop believing. Hold on. Streetlight people. Let's jump, jump, jump. Of the 2010.
I bet no one understood a word of that.
Is the subject this week's countdown? Shut the fuck up, Wayne. We've already talked about the parameters or lack thereof. Jason, over to you for your number 10 as the guest on the show.
Hit it.
With a budget of $185 million and a box office of only $260 million. Seems like it would have made money. Estimated loss, still $80 million.
Shit.
I'm coming in with a sequel to a movie that flopped. And it is a flop in and of itself. My number 10 is the last Denny Villeneuve joint. It is 2017's Blade Runner 2049.
Fits the brief.
It is, whether you like it, you don't like it. I did like it. I saw it in the theater. I went outside to study in tropical Akron, Ohio. It was foggy. I felt like I was in a synthwave album. I fucking loved it. And the movie carried with me. I own it. I've seen it. But it's a flop. It is a flop, and we will not be getting another one. The best we're going to get, I don't know if it's making its way to the other side of the earth, but we're getting a Blade Runner animated series.
Are we?
Courtesy of Warner Brothers.
Right.
Yeah. Looks pretty bad. So that's what we're getting now. We're not getting more movies. We're getting a cartoon that doesn't look that good.
Tell me, you say you like Blade Runner 2049. I too liked it.
Yeah, I liked it better than the original because I think the original, other than production design, which is obviously maybe the most influential movie ever made, is an exceptionally boring movie. So I thought this was way more interesting.
I still found it a little boring.
It's boring.
It's boring. It's still boring.
But it's quite more visceral with the Jared Leto killing the thing in front of the camera. I was like, oh, this is a bit harsh.
Yeah.
So it hit harder. So I still liked it, but I wouldn't watch it again. I'll be honest with you. It's bloody long.
Yep.
So,
the advertisement says to our boy, calls him Joe, because there's an ambiguity the whole time of, is his hologram girlfriend AI aware? Is she not aware? Does she really love him? Does she not? What is this? And then when in the movie just kind of definitively comes down the side of everything about his life is fake.
Because he's a replicant, yes? I can't remember. He was. So it's fine for him to
and
fuck
he knows,
hologram.
Yeah. Well,
it would be fine for you to now hold her, Wayne. That's what you're basically moving towards.
We get one of the most innovative threesomes in film history, Wayne. Yep. I thought you would have remembered that. It involves a real woman and a hologram and a replicant. I don't know what the genital situation is in that menage a trois, but I'm interested to find out. And if anyone I've ever met in my life is close to ever finding out what it's like to be a replicant fucking a real human prostitute who may also be a replicant as she's absorbed inside of a hologram, it's you, Wayne.
That's true. I'm thinking
No denial. Yeah, I am.
No, the only human genital in that mix was a burger. So that
potentially
means
it might also have been a replicant. We don't know.
Oh, we don't know. It could have been a fake burger.
I think the prostitute was a replicant as well, right, Paul? Jesus. Wasn't she a replicant?
I don't remember to say anyone as well as it's you two do.
Anyway, enough about Blade Runner.
Yes.
Paul, let's get your number 10.
That's a very controversial pick to kick it off. Well played, Jason. My number 10 is not so controversial. In fact, it may be only controversial because it's so low on my list. But I did order this according to how much I hated the films. So my number 1 is my worst, most hated of these box office flops. Got it. Put it that way.
Sure.
And my number 10, I didn't hate it as much as everyone else because I'd heard the buzz. It was made for $120 million. It grossed $168, lost between $80 and $100 million, and it completely tanked the entire new universe that this was going to build into.
Yes.
I'm talking about Fantastic Four.
Oh, Fantastic Flap.
Yeah, as directed by known cocksnap, Josh Trank.
I'm right there with you. I think I should just say now, this is my number 9. So we're right there.
There we are. All right. So
I'm right there with you.
I think it would have been higher on my list and I would have hated it much more if I hadn't seen all the buzz. And by the time I actually got to see this, because I did not bother going to see it at the theater, by the time it came to download, I was like, this was really bad, but I didn't viscerally hate it the way that the fans of Fantastic Four.
Did you not? Because I was watching this thing and I'm like, there's like no end to this movie. All of a sudden they're on a fucking planet and it's like a fight and that's that. I'm like,
it's horrendously paced.
It is so fucked. Yeah. We call Dick Snap Josh Trank. Now what happened with Josh Trank, right? Is he just fucked up, okay? He did what's that first movie? Chronicle. Very nice.
Very good.
He's probably got some talent. Then he goes and does this. And then I heard this interview with him and Kevin Smith a week before it opened. And he's like, yeah, I'm really happy with the movie. And this and that. Right? And then he goes and drops that tweet that says, this movie is a bag of dicks. And it would have been good if people didn't fuck with me. So sorry. And then it all fucks everything up. They try and sue his ass. He was put in movie jail for a while. By the way, he's back directing now.
He directed some horrendously bad Al Capone later in life.
That's career suicide, man.
Biography.
Once you got the iron, man, it's done.
What he did not direct was the Star Wars movie he was supposed to direct.
Yeah.
And that he was announced for. Because he also allegedly got high on a bunch of cocaine and destroyed the penthouse that the studio put him up in while filming Fantastic Four. Yes.
Holy shit. Okay, so maybe he's a dick snap.
He did. Absolutely is.
He did multiple millions of dollars of damage to real property, untold tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of damage to IP property or intellectual property, and infinitely fucked his career forever.
Yep.
So, that's the only reason why I feel like this movie even made it on my list at all, Paul, because it's kind of a forgettable movie. We covered it many moons ago on Binge Movies, RIP Pat, and I'm glad you brought it up so I don't have to talk about it.
Great. All right, well, then we're over to Wayne then for his number 10.
All right, well, as always, I'm walking a slightly different path. No, it's still fucking in brief, so just put your dick away. The film I'm talking about, it had a budget of only $32 million, so it's not one of these big losses like you guys are talking about, but we are low on the list here. Made a domestic box office of $23 million, basically lost, not in your 80s, probably lost about $10 million, $8 million, $7 million.
Well, it depends on advertising. I'm sure
you're right, actually, because you double almost
give
the movie, give or take.
Depends how big the 10
million. So yeah, it's in the tens, like in the 30s maybe, that it lost. The movie's called The Losers. And it was in 2010.
Ugh.
Now, do you remember this film?
Yeah.
Very vaguely.
All right. Now, everyone didn't remember. It's why it's low on the list. But for the record, everyone, The Losers has Jeffrey Dean Morgan, Zoe Saldana, Captain America, Idris Elba, other people. And so it's got a reasonable cast, all right?
Whoa. Hold on.
Other people? I can't believe they failed.
Oscar Janet, I don't know who that is. Anyway, so this movie is about a bunch of special ops motherfuckers and they are just soldiers for fortune. It doesn't really matter. The point is, it's shit, right? They actually have the song Don't Stop Believing by Journey, which probably cost them a lot of money, and they play it 87 times in this film. Oh,
well,
right?
I guess now we have a song to kick off. Or end this episode.
And it is a fantastic song, so I understand why they just played all of it. But this film has it's literally endless stunts. That's it. There's nothing. Chris Evans, Captain America, is annoying. He's trying to crack onto Zoe Saldana. She's not having any more of it. He's being a bitch about it, and he's got a goatee, so you know he's a nerd, all right? And, It is just like the most disappointing piece of shit I had ever seen. The best thing that I thought about it was that it's presented like a comic. Like it's supposed to be. I was like, ooh, that'll be interesting. But guess what? It fucking wasn't interesting. Every single wrong move they made, just piece of shit. I don't know if you all have seen this. You've seen
it? Yeah, I have, but it was so long ago. I barely remember it, as you said.
Same camp. I saw it. I remember a hotel scene maybe with Zoe Saldana, yes, mostly nude.
Yes.
Or in her underwear. Yep. And that's all I remember from her.
Understandable. There was one cool scene where Chris Evans is his five guys and they all got guns on him and he's just got his finger guns out. He's got nothing on him. And he goes ping like this and shoots at one guy. And he actually gets shot somehow. Then another
that's
guy, he'll get shot.
Yes.
Yeah, then look at that. And then you see that later on, that you know, the way, way miles away, he's got a sniper who's actually reacting. That was kind of cool. But that's it, man. That's it.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
Cool. So that was my number 10, people. Odd one.
Jason was 9, was also Fantastic Four. Nice. Which brings it back around to me for, again, another one of these probably lower sort of end scale ones, but it came from a real name director. So I'm talking about the very inappropriately named Now film, Black Hat.
That's my number 9.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Wow. Why is it? Oh, Black Hat.
Well,
oh, of course.
Because there's a negative connotation. Yes, now, can't do that anymore.
We talked about that the other night. Yeah. All these fucking computer terms are now. You can't use master and slave machines anymore.
Nope.
You got to call them something else. What?
So budget, $75 million worldwide gross, $19 million. Dude. Estimated loss between $68 and $90 million went down the tube on a $75 million film. That is astounding.
Man, Paul, tell us what this is about.
Chris Hemsworth
is a coder.
By the way, Chris Hemsworth, when you look through the list of flops through the 2010s, features a lot.
Really? So if it weren't for Thor, this motherfucker would have bankrupted Thor, studios?
We would not have to deal with TikTok videos of how big his muscles are, like, every day of our lives.
But thankfully we do. So
so basically, he's a hacker, gets involved in some international conspiracy. Michael Mann eventually throws in a scene where there's machine guns firing, but it's way too late to
way
save
too late.
This particular film. It is so incredibly boring, and it makes it you think, or tries to make you think, that you're interested in the technical aspects of hacking. You're not. I'm not. No one gives a fuck except hackers. So stop trying to represent it visually by going down fucking wires and shit all
you know what this? The idea that for a hacker, because I work with developers a lot. If there are any software developers out there, what's up, y'all? I know your people, okay? The idea that Chris Hemsworth could be one of them is very exciting, because he can't, okay? You can't be a coder. You might be a skinny, good-looking man. It's as best as you can look at, as you can hope for if you're a coder. You just don't go the Chris Hemsworth way.
If you've ever taken a roid, like this.
Yeah,
you're not
you
a
don't
hacker.
Take a roid. You don't go that big, and you don't get that much sex. So it's just, that's it. So that's why I think this was about you.
You might get lots of sex if you're into other similar hackers.
Like you might have like the Blade Runner shit, like, you know, like some fucking simulated shit, maybe. But like, no, I'm not saying. Of course, everyone's lovely. But yeah, that was it. This guy did Heat and now he does this?
I know.
What the fuck? Did you see this, man, Jace?
I have never seen this movie in my life.
Don't.
I'm glad to hear it's shit. And because that means that the 1990, mid-90s movie Hackers is still the greatest hacker movie ever made. It's left standing, undefeated.
It's got some competition from The Net.
Hang on.
I have seen The Net recently, and it ends at a cybersecurity trade show in Florida. And if your movie ends at a trade show in Florida and you're desperately trying to load a 3.5-inch, very hard, Wayne, floppy disk into a drive and send an email before anybody knows, that's not a good movie. It doesn't have Fisher Stevens on a skateboard. It doesn't have Angelina Jolie's nipples. It doesn't have any of the things that I need. It doesn't, it doesn't have Dr. Malfi. It doesn't have Dr. Malfi. Fucking Fisher Stevens, who's the Indian guy Wayne from Short Circuit.
All right, well, that's both of our 9s. Jason, back to you for your number 8.
Talking about movies that are not memorable at all. Mm-hmm. I'm going to talk about a movie from an era that isn't memorable at all. It is the public domain fairy tale franchise starter era of the early 2010s, when they kept trying to go back to Hansel and Gretel and all these Brothers Grimm fairy tales and make action franchises out of them. I'm talking about 2013's Jack and the Giant Slayer.
Right, yep.
On a $200 million budget, the thing only made $197 million. Estimated losses of $105 million.
Damn.
Do you remember this era, gentlemen, of when they kept trying to take Disney had some success with it, with like the Alice in Wonderland shit. I think everybody live action. I think everybody was looking for the next.
I
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yep.
And they were going to this public domain shit and trying to make adventure movies out of them. And they all had $400 million budgets, and none of us remember them 10 years later.
I barely remember this film, and I think I've seen little bits of it or something like that. Yeah, that's a lot of shit.
It's a really good choice. Because it's really forgettable. And I think, am I wrong in saying it's directed by noted never again directing a film in Hollywood, Bryan Singer?
Is that so?
I think it might be. You might want to Google fact check that, but I think that might be true. And he will be directing more movies. He's not done. It's Hollywood. They have no morality.
Yeah.
In this day and age, I have to pretend to have morality, whereas before that, it's good to be like, fuck everyone! Who cares? all right. Well, look, we can fact check that one later. I think that's a great choice. I have seen it. I remember almost nothing about it other than it was, well, I thought the whole time, where has the $200 million gone in this film?
So, yes. Yep.
All right. Well, moving back to me for my number eight. Now, here's another film which stunned me at how bad it was and how much money it was spent on. And it came from this really popular book, which I've never read. So I have no interest in the IP, no attachment to it, which I guess helps hate a film like this. It's called A Wrinkle in Time from 2018. Yes. Directed by Ava DuVernay. Yeah, that's it. $125 million budget, only made $133 million. Estimated losses, I think is the most so far, $131 million.
Shit, did you down. See it?
Yeah, I did watch it.
What was it? What's it about?
It is almost incomprehensible. Chris Pine is like this scientist, whatever, looking at wormholes or shit like that.
Sure.
And he disappears down one, and his kids go chasing him through time and whatever else down this wormhole to this different land where there's like, I don't know, tall Reese Witherspoons and Whoopi Goldbergs and shit like that. It is
Oprah Winfrey, my friend.
That's what I remember. Oh, about
Oprah, my apologies.
Yes. Now, this is based on a series of really popular books. The first one, of course, is A Wrinkle in Time. It is in the vein of a C.S. Lewis. It was written by a female author.
Yep.
So she was sort of like the female C.S. Lewis. A little bit later in time. She's a few decades past C.S. Lewis.
Was it the
50s? More of a modern author. Yeah, more of a modern author. Yep. And So this book is extremely popular. It has had other animated adaptations that were extremely popular, and it does appear higher on my list. So that's a good call because it was a giant flop.
I think the thing that surprised me about it is you expect a big budget Disney film in this day and age, in this last 10 years for sure, just to hit. Like there should be no qualm or question about it. There's very, very few Disney films that have flopped in this last decade. Sure, go back to the Black Cauldron days. It's all very, very different. But now, they are just printing money, or have been for a long, long
Even
time.
Even when they're bad, they tend to not flop. Look at like the last Star Wars, or you know, shit like that. It's like that's still made bank, but it's shit.
The film is just too complicated for kids. I did try to watch it with my daughter. She just was up and out of there in 20-minute mark. Nah, screw this shit.
Oh Jesus!
And it's just too boring for adults because who cares?
Yeah, we ain't got enough time as it is. Yeah. So yeah, nice one. We're on time. Good one, fellas.
It reminds me of another flop that's not on my list, but I'm wondering if it's on yours, Paul. I wonder if it's on yours, Wayne. Don't tell me if we're not there yet. But Tomorrowland. Remember Tomorrowland?
You may hear about this.
Okay. We'll save it then. Okay. Although, yeah, I do have another Disney flop coming, and it flops pretty hard too. All right, over to you, Wayne, for your eight.
All right, people. This movie I'm about to talk about is the damnedest thing. It's called Gods of Egypt.
Dishonorable mention.
Oh my god. All right. So everyone, it was in like 2016 this thing came out. And long story short, it lost $90 million, in the neighborhood of $90 million, right? It's got Jamie Lannister in it, and it's got like lots of like actors that you would know. And Alex Proyas, Aussie director, directed it. And it's about 9-foot Egyptian gods who are all gods, which means they're 9 feet tall, and they're just like maybe 12 feet because all the humans are about dick height to them, right? And they're just walking around among humans. There's like 10 or 15 or 20
Wayne's
of them.
Fantasy.
No. Imagine how big his dick is, man. No way. I'm a goner if I try that shit.
Oh, I thought you being the 12 foot.
Oh, I see. No, because then the mouth's too small. Anyway, so the point is, right? Forgetting about dicks for a moment, Paul. This movie is about the survival of mankind hanging in the balance when like people like Gerard Butler and all that sort of shit, who are gods, have conflicts between themselves. It looks so stupid. This is not, again, a well-known film, but I need you to know about it so you can avoid it if you haven't seen it already. It is horse shit. And the fact it's so off-putting to see just large people walking around among everyone, like you're not supposed to notice the small people. It's off-putting and it's wildly shite. So, yes, really horrible. Massive flop, bag of dicks.
Did you see this one, Jason?
Are you guys describing Eternals or?
Dude, we haven't seen Eternals yet. It hasn't opened in Australia
yet. No, it has. It opened on Thursday.
So 2 days ago, it fucking, yep. Yeah, piece of shit. Is it Flaps? Is it Shithouse?
The plot you just described is...
Is
has
it?
A lot to do with Eternals.
Oh no!
Oh dear!
Oh, this is a problem.
That was one of two movies that I, as I sat and watched Eternals, I thought this is like Gods of Egypt meets John Carter of Mars.
Oh no! Funny you should mention that film.
I'm not speaking to necessarily quality, just look, tonality.
I'll ask you now:
style.
Is there a 9 foot tall Angelina Jolie?
She's not 9 feet tall.
Okay. All right. I was just, you know, on your previous point. So
this thing it was $140 million budget. The story goes that they ran out of money during the course of this film. It either went over budget or the studio tried to rein the budget back in. So Proyas was out basically begging for money to get this film finished from different investors and whatever
actually,
else.
That makes a bit of sense.
And so he didn't direct as much of the film as he should have done.
That's so.
I got handed over to the second unit director or assistant director or whatever.
They
so
just did that.
Yeah.
That's wow.
Can I ask you guys a Gen X question?
Please.
Has Alex Proyas, has he made a good movie since The Crow? And has anybody else had such potential, at least like this guy's going to be something, and then just gone on to do nothing as much as him? Because I thought this guy was going to be making Batman movies or huge films at some
really?
Point.
Really? Did you see Dark City?
I did, yeah.
So
yeah,
that one was a relatively good one.
I do like that, yeah.
Dark City's good. I really liked iRobot when I first watched it, but my subsequent viewing, I didn't enjoy it as much.
I liked iRobot, man. I liked that shit. Yes, he is okay. Mm. It's just that this was a wild misstep, and obviously it sounds like a lot of it wasn't his fault, but whatever, you know. Gods of Egypt.
Took $150 million off $140 million budget. Estimate loss, $76 to $90 million loss.
Right.
So that's a flop.
Pretty cold. Pretty cold. All right.
Back to Jason.
Back to Jace. Sev.
I'm guessing that this is going to appear at least on one of your lists. I'm talking about a movie that it actually sends a shiver down my spine for a movie that's going to be coming out on HBO Max here in the States in the not-too-distant future. On a budget of $200 million, this thing only made $185 million with an estimated loss of $120 million. It only made $47 million domestically in the United States. This is the one where Mila Kunis fucks a Mog, a man dog, which means he's his own best friend. And this is the movie where Oscar award-winning actor Eddie Redmayne embarrassed himself for what seemed to be 4.5 hours. I'm talking about the Wachowskis' Jupiter Ascending.
Now,
no!
Oh, Paul, you don't understand. I haven't seen this one, guys, so you're going to have to coach me on it. Like, it's like, is this
Paul,
Channing Tatum is a dog man?
Channing Tatum is a dog with rocket boots who's fucking a woman who might be a bee. And she's from a different planet and she doesn't know it. And she's got space siblings that are tens of thousands of years old. They need some space goo to keep them young.
What?
And I don't remember anything else. Paul, could you fill in the gaps?
Yeah, good
There's
luck.
There's a lot of Eternals in this movie as well.
Yeah, poor street cleaner from Russia, I think, comes to America and makes good as some kind of life, world-saving deity.
Is that this film?
Yeah.
What?
Yep.
She was a street cleaner. She was a housekeeper. Now that you said that, it triggered my brain.
Yep.
She cleaned toilets for a living, and she's introduced cleaning toilets, and then it turns out she's a god from some other Jupiter, I guess. Maybe. I don't know.
My review from however many years ago when I wrote it basically says, there are two reasons to watch this film. One is there are some fairly decent sort of action moments during the movie, which kind of help rescue it a tiny bit. The second is Eddie Redmayne. To think this guy won an Oscar.
What did he do? Is that how he played it?
It is so bad.
Oh my God.
He goes from whispering, I'm going to kill you. Like, it goes from like that to I'm screaming. Yep. Like, just modulated.
It was just after the theory of everything. Yep.
So that's the director's fault, surely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, okay, all right, fair enough. Wow, okay. I feel like now this is one of those things I would hate watch now because you guys said that shit. So
There is no other reason. And when though I said low, it's not that low.
It's a Wachowski's attempt at making a fairy tale in space with rocket boots. It's like they wanted to make their own Star Wars, but lean more into the fairy tale tropes, and it just... It didn't work, and it literally sends a shiver down my spine that they're making another Matrix movie, because I think the magic is gone.
Well, only one of them's working on it. Maybe that'll help. I don't know.
We got rid of the bad one.
Yeah,
rip off Ghost of the Shell so many times, and once you run out of source material, you got to come up with your own shit, and it was the drizzling shit. The Wachowskis suck. This new Matrix is going to suck. Keep it in, Paul.
Hot take.
Stay in. I'm still hopeful. That trailer got me going.
Yeah, really enjoyed that trailer. I'll give it every chance, as I always do.
My number seven is the aforementioned from Jason, John Carter, sometimes known as the John Carter of Mars. Look, it's not as bad as most of the other films on this list. In fact, I'd argue that it's probably better than all other nine. But
I always wondered about this. Go on. I haven't seen it.
It gets higher up the list to number seven because this is the only film that caused the studio head to leave their job.
That's how bad it went.
Yeah.
Go on. So
Disney, I can't remember who it was at the time, 2012, it came at $263 million budget. The worldwide gross of only $284 million. Estimated losses, $200 million.
Wow.
It was all US, obviously.
Was it Taylor Kitsch? Is that who John? Yeah. No, was it
Jake? That's correct. Yeah. No, you're right. It's Taylor Kitsch.
Well, see, now this is the weird thing. I actually heard from this movie. The reason that you say John Carter from Mars, but then they released it as John Carter, is apparently the studios had some intel that said any title with the name Mars, with the word
Mission
Mars.
Mission to Mars,
Mars Needs Moms, whatever.
Yeah, that's a huge flop too, but I've never seen it.
Again, so this is it. Like all of those. So they said, just take Mars out of the title. Maybe that'll help. It did not. But it probably might have gone even worse according to that data. So very, like, is it shit though?
It's not horrendous. Jason, have you seen it? I think you've covered it, right?
I've covered it, yeah. It's not a bad movie. It's based on a very popular series of books from a century plus ago that influenced basically all of modern.
Star Wars.
Really? Yeah. It's a Edward Rice Burroughs series of books that were known as the Princess of Mars books or whatever. And John Carter is a character in it. And Yeah, if you like Star Wars, this is kind of the source material for a lot of Star Wars, a lot of science fiction in general. It's not bad. It was part of the issue of why this budget got so inflated, why it lost so much money, is they kept going in and re-fucking with it. They reshot like a wraparound scene that didn't exist before to kind of explain it. They reshot action sequence. They just kept dumping more and more money into it because they didn't have faith in it. And that's what the movie kind of feels like. It feels like it's about three movies that have been crammed into one. And it's not a bad film. It's just a bit dull in some places and too much. It's just too much.
It's too long, too. From vague memory, it's like 2 hours and 20 minutes. And
$200 million.
Before Marvel started doing all these really long films.
The worst part of the movie is right at the end when it really gets interesting and like gets very creative and novel and you're like, oh my God, yeah, this is good. Then it ends because they set up a sequel that's never going to be made.
June part one.
Well, yes. They're like, that's the movie I want to see. I want to see the next one, you know, and it's never going to happen. You might get a Disney Plus series because they'll repurpose it. They have to.
All right. My number seven, everyone. Again, lower scale down here, but I remember wanting this movie to work and being really amazed at how much it didn't. It's called The Happy Time Murders. Yeah. Okay, it's a 2018 film, and it had a production budget of only $40 million. Only $40 million. Right? Yeah, worldwide gross $27 million.
We paid to see this movie,
dude. Our money is in that fucking $27 million. All right, so like it's. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Jim Henson's brother, or son.
Son, I'd say. Yep.
Son, right? Directed this, and it's about puppets acting among normal, like human people, and so on. Like Sesame Street, or The Muppets, right? No, not The Muppets so much. Sesame Street. So, I wish it was supposed to be an R-rated movie. There's cum jokes. It's got Melissa McCarthy in it. It's supposed to be the file sort of Meet the Feebles-y, but far more mainstream. And it just sucked. Everything about it was shit. It had Joel, what's his name, community guy in it.
McHale.
And it's a private investigator who's solving some brutal murder and he's using puppets. But oh my God, everything fell flat. Literally, I couldn't believe how bad it was. And I was just pissed about it. So that's why it flopped. But also, had this worked and had we somehow made puppets funny and rude, I would have loved that if they had made it work somehow, because that's a whole new genre. I'm down with it. It's better than animated.
I'm not sure it's a new genre given Meet the Feebles, but it's a genre which doesn't really exist at the moment.
Imagine if there was another Spur like that, though. I don't know. I feel like I'm just disappointed it didn't work. What are you going to do?
Fair enough.
The Happy Time Murders.
That's a pull quote. Had we made puppets funny?
What? I'm telling you.
All right.
Somebody's got to crack that code of making good puppet art.
I'll be honest with you, I never even saw the Muppets movie, so it was a good chance I would have anyway, but this might have brought me there. What can I say?
You still can, Wayne. You still can.
Okay, we'll give it a try.
Number six, Jason.
Number six is the movie I saw during the holiday season. It's a movie that is speaking of reshoots from the John Carter days, this is a movie that had to go under major reshoots and major post-production work to digitally reduce buttholes and hands. I'm talking about a movie with a $100 million budget, which only brought in $75.5 million, with an estimated loss of $114
million.
I'm talking about Memories All Alone in the Moonlight. I'm talking about Cats, motherfuckers.
Yep,
that's a good pull.
This is one of the absolutely most ill-conceived movies from one of the absolutely most ill-conceived musicals ever. I know it ran on Broadway for 55 years. I don't give a shit. This movie, it had no right to exist, but I'm almost glad it did. Here's a story for you, Wayne.
Please.
I was going, this might have to be edited out, but no, I was going to go with a group of friends and we were all going to go see this movie. Kind of ironically,
of course, I've done that before many times.
Dressed as cats.
Oh,
full makeup.
Shit.
Full body suit, everything.
What?
Everybody else chickens out. Nobody even goes to see the movie but me, and I'm not going to dress up just unless it's, you know,
what
by
a
myself.
Shame.
In a, you know,
what
a
great
shot
situation. That would have been. That's a Facebook post.
So I go in street clothes, and there is a group of special needs adults who are all in full cat costumes.
Oh, damn it.
Which means, had I gone to this movie, it would have seemed as if I was making fun of developmentally delayed people.
Oh, dear.
So I dodged a bullet of unintentionally. I didn't know that was going to happen, obviously. I dodged a bullet.
Yeah,
I've never been more thankful to not follow through on a prank
God.
Ever in my life.
Would it have been worse if you went as a cat on your own or all your buddies said, you know, let's do it. And then now there's another group of cats, except y'all walking perfectly fine. So
knowing my personality, had I been there by myself, I could have blended in. Had I gone with a large group
of you can't control the mob.
Neurotypical people, they would have thought we were mocking them, which of course was not our intention.
Of course.
We were mocking this Hollywood farce. So instead, there I am in street clothes by myself with just a group of, let's just say, moms and their daughters.
Sure, sure.
I was the only man in the movie.
You
I was wearing this
there.
Hoodie.
Yep.
And I was sitting in the back and I felt like a pervert the whole time. And I could tell that the women were uncomfortable I was there. I was uncomfortable that I was there. And then this movie proceeded to go on for, 9.5 hours? I don't know. Once the cockroaches started dancing with James Corden, I was
Rebel
your
Wilson.
Country woman. Oh, who I
fuck
know you
that
love.
Was shit, man. That part was shit. I mean, the whole thing was
when
shit.
She spread her burger, as you would say, as a cat, and started licking herself. And I was like, nobody saw the dailies of this, and were like,
no,
Paul,
that's not a joke. That's not a joke.
No, it's not a joke.
Have you seen the movie?
I have seen the movie.
She did it.
This is another film where both my daughter and my wife walked out after only a few minutes.
Oh, dude. Remember when she unzipped her skin and came out of a cat outfit and then she was wearing the same thing underneath? And I'm like, what was that? What the hell was that? It was all
who
some
saw
shit.
This?
And I made Paul watch this so we could review it just for fun.
Oh,
and, you know.
It should have been on my list. That's a good choice.
It's a good choice. It's not on my list, but it's the bomb. Nice one.
My number six, nowhere near as impressive as that one, primarily because it's from 2011 and I can barely remember it. But I do remember thinking, why do I give a shit about this? Why is it so bad? And why are the special effects so poor for a mainstream cinematic superhero film?
Mm-hmm.
It should have been the film which stopped Ryan Reynolds from ever having another go.
This is on my list too.
In a leading role in a superhero film, but somehow he's bounced back from Green Lantern.
Green Lantern! And the way
did I forget this? How did I forget
about
this?
Green Lantern, Paul.
Oh, well, you probably do better than me because I never read a single Green Lantern comic book. And I know they kept sort of talking, Green Lantern's coming. And I can imagine if you were into the Green Lantern core, you'd have been so pissed off with this movie because it is so inconsequentially terrible. The only good thing about it that I can remember is Mark Strong's pretty good as his character in the film.
His bad guy.
Everything else bad, particularly like this great big world-ending threat, Parallax, is that what its name was?
Yeah, Parallax.
Yes.
It gets rid of him, or he defeats this thing like at the end of the first movie in like 3 minutes flat. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Here's what happened with this film, right? First of all, Paul was the Super Friends. Paul liked Aquaman for some fucking reason.
Still, yeah.
All right? Yeah, he liked the blonde Aquaman with the orange shirt. I don't know what's that about.
I don't mind the Jason Momoa Aquaman either.
Okay, I'd hit both of them, but that's not the point. You picked like over Batman, Superman, motherfucking Wonder Woman. Blam. All right, so and Green Lantern was in there, all right, but you didn't give a fuck.
No.
All right, so I understand. Green Lantern was the thing, right? Now, here's the thing about Green Lantern and the character.
Green
the
Arrow? Shmoo?
Green Arrow's another guy. Yeah, I know. There's another green guy. Anyway, Green Lantern, right? His whole thing is that the joke about the comic is that his powering can make anything and do anything, right? So instead
of... really overpowered.
Yeah, it is. And agree with this. His one weakness is anything yellow. That's how the fucking character is, okay? So I could piss on him, yeah, and he'd be like, ah! All right, so...
Except if you have vitamins in case you piss green.
True. I mean, I have to be a bit dehydrated. But and so what happens is, instead of just doing a power burst and hitting and killing things, he makes like a fucking big race car that goes down a ramp and hits the thing. That's what he does, all
right? Right.
So when you make that into a movie, you've got to somehow make that visual language not look shit. And frankly, it's a tall order. I think maybe Christopher Nolan could swing it, right? Maybe, all right? Because he's... I'm telling you, right? And so that's what this movie did. At the end of the fucking movie, Ryan Reynolds defeats the big bad thing by punching it, but then his ring makes an even bigger fist, and that's what punches it into the sun.
The sun, right, yeah.
And it's like, that was shit. It was just shit, all right? And that's what happened. So it's just poor language. Again, I wish this one worked.
But $200 million budget.
I know.
Can you believe that? And that's what this film looked like. $220 million return worldwide. Estimated losses. Only $75 million, which surprised me because I would have thought there'd be a lot more in the advertising budget behind this one. But
more importantly, Martin Campbell. Yeah. Casino Royale. GoldenEye.
He's hit and miss, that man.
He is hit and miss. Yeah, he's Steven Soderbergh. All right.
Obviously, you did not enjoy Green Lantern either, Jason.
I think Wayne just said something actually like incredibly insightful, which is one of the reasons why I like listening to the show. Because every once in a while, Wayne just comes out with something that's like, oh, this guy fucks, this guy gets it. I think that Green Lantern, right, is a little bit overpowered to your point, Paul. The deal, though, is the lantern is like a battery and it will run out. So he doesn't have power perpetually. He has to recharge every so often. There's been a lot of different Green Lanterns, the Hal Jordan and
Hal Jordan. Guy Gardner, lots of them.
Guy Gardner and Smith, John Smith,
yeah,
or
John
Smith. Was that in
John
my
Stewart,
head?
John Stewart.
Yeah, John Stewart. Yeah, and so they all make kind of different things based on the power of their imagination, or whatever. But I think you're right on. I think visually something works in a comic book.
Totally.
They try to translate it into reality. It just looks really stupid.
Yeah.
And
it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, and therefore the stakes don't really seem to matter because it's taking itself too serious when the idea is kind of inherently goofy visually.
Yeah.
So I've seen it, and I don't remember anything about it other than be like, this is pretty goofy.
Taika Waititi was in it.
Sinestro?
Sinestro, yeah.
The yellow
because it's all CGI.
Guy.
He looks just weird.
Yeah, it's weird.
It did not work, but these things happen.
All right.
Kilowog, is Kilowog the lantern guy who gives him his ring? I thought that looked pretty good because it looked just like the alien from the comic book.
I barely remember that myself. I think you're right. But yeah, it's weird. It's a weird-ass film. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
And ironically, my number six is also a Ryan film.
Oh,
so
no.
He's had a few missteps, but because he's not so handsome, he gets more work. I think that's what it is. The number six spot is R.I.P.D. for me, everyone.
Oh, yeah.
This
that's a terrible
was,
film.
And I expected a lot here. Worldwide, it made a $78 million bank on a budget of $150 million. So it's pretty fucked up. And it's got Jeff Bridges, who I'm here for, and Ryan Reynolds, who I'm clearly here for.
And
Mary Louise
Parker,
who I can't even tell you.
So there for.
Exactly. I'm a big fan of hers as well. But this ends up being, it's about an afterlife detective. No, sorry. Afterlife police, basically. That's what they do. They go around policing the afterlife, and it's very like a shittily skinned Men in Black.
Yeah, that's exactly how
that's what it is, right?
It. Yep.
It's really, really just poorly plotted, driven, fucking paced. The only one cool thing about it is that when Jeff Bridges kills a motherfucker with his cool gold gun, he has a really cool way of putting it away. He kind of whips it out, changes hands, and double draws it. It's really cool. That's it, though. I can't point to anything else cool in the film. So if you do watch it, that's the only thing to look out for. But seriously, don't watch it. There you go. Number one. Number six.
Number one.
R.I.P.D.
Could be number one. Is number six. All right. We're gonna skip around to Jason, I think, here. We are starting to run real long.
Sorry. Yeah, we're talking a lot here. Go ahead, Jason.
This is my number five, and it is going to be no surprise. It may upset Paul. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Hope it does.
I hope it does, too. It came out in 2019, just at the end of the last decade. On a budget of $196 million, it made $261 million. Again, that sounds like a hit. But it apparently lost $130 million plus dollars.
Jesus.
And I'm just going to say it. It's Terminator, too little, too late, a.k.a. Terminator Dark Fate.
Dark Fate.
This is a movie that was kind of okay as an action
it's
movie.
Fine.
I thought it was
kill
fun too.
Edward Furlong as John Connor, CGI deepfake style, within the first 10 minutes of the movie, and it meant absolutely nothing. And you're talking about somebody who Terminator 2 is like a religious experience mm-hmm. for me. The first time I met my Lord and Savior, John Connor, JC, as I like to call him, not a carpenter, but a leader of a resistance, building weapons out of wood to fight killer robots in the future. When I met JC as my personal Lord and Savior, it transformed my life. I love Terminator 2. I love Edward Furlong as that character. Despite what everybody would say about him, that to me is the definitive Terminator movie.
Yes.
And they brought all the imagery and all the shit back. And it was an okay film, probably the best sequel, I guess, of after Terminator 2, I guess.
Yep.
And it still meant absolutely nothing to me. I was blank because the franchise had been put into the absolute dirt for the last 25 plus years. And I think that the reason why this movie flopped is that nobody gives a shit about the Terminator anymore.
That's from the heart, man. If you loved it this much and then this thing disappointed the shit out of you, yeah, you're done.
Yep.
It didn't even disappoint me. It just didn't faze me. And I think that was the majority of the culture's, like, it just was sort of like, okay, that was fine. Yeah,
too little,
I'll see
too
it
late.
When I see it.
I think you're right.
Yeah, it's too little, too late. Yeah.
Yeah, good call.
All right, yeah, that I did see that on the lists, and I, as you said, I don't mind this movie, and so it wouldn't make my list given the way. But if you're just talking about it from, as Wayne says, the heart, or indeed the money, then clearly it needs to be on there because that's a big loss. They must have spent so much on marketing.
Yeah, well,
they had several Terminator films planned after it, and they've canceled all of them. And there are no plans to make another Terminator movie at this time. We know they're going to again eventually.
But it
killed the franchise again.
All right, well, my number five, here's where I had Jupiter Ascending, so just a couple of places higher than Jason.
Very good. My number five is Dark Phoenix. Remember this one?
Yes, it wasn't that long ago.
I barely do, because it's basically the last of the X-Men's, and it was people like J-Law and Sansa Stark.
Sophie Turner.
Yeah, those people were all just playing out their contract. Like, if you signed a three-picture or whatever, this is the third one.
Disney had bought 20th Century Fox by this point in time, so they really did just throw this out there.
Is that what happened? Yeah. Because this thing cost $200 million, all right? And it made $252, but still made a massive loss of around $150.
Wow.
But the thing is, it must have been that they spent all the money first, or they committed all the money first, then the buyout happens, and it's like, we still have to spend this money on this fucking project instead of killing it. And when I saw it, I was like, no one in this film cares about it at all. People in it didn't give a fuck, and you could tell the director didn't give a fuck. Editor really didn't give a fuck.
J-Law in this film is awful.
J-Law is shit in this film, and that's hard to do, man. So I'm like, damn, this is a piece of shit that the whole movie felt like it just didn't matter. That's what it was. So amazing that they can happen, though. You can spend that much, $200 million on a movie you don't care about.
And Simon Kinberg, the guy who directed this, had written multiple different sort of superhero movies over the years. This is his directorial debut. I thought, that's it. He's finished. There'll no more. But he's got something else coming with a big budget. I can't remember what it is.
As Kevin
Smith shocked
says,
me when I saw
in Hollywood, you fail upwards.
Right.
John Peters, who did Batman, he used to be a hairdresser. Go to Hollywood, kids. Go to Hollywood.
Barbara Streisand's hairdresser.
Oh, shit. See, that's how he got in.
That's who opened the door for him.
That's what
baby.
Happened. All right. Yeah. Please.
Are you a fan of Dark Phoenix, Jason?
No, but I am a fan of Barbara Streisand.
Fair enough. All right, round to number fours, Jason.
That's going to be A Wrinkle in Time. I think we've said enough about it.
Boom, Paulie.
My number four, it's kind of nice then it follows on from Jason's number five pick there in terms of being from the heart. This original film, when this one came out, it's one of my favorite films of all time. It's in my top 50 somewhere. Probably could go look it up and tell you whereabouts it actually is. Loved it so much. Robert Rodriguez knocking it out of the park with a comic book adaptation. And then he goes back to the well with Frank Miller for some 10 or 11 years later in 2014.
Yeah.
About 10 years later, I think it was. For Sin City, A Dame to Kill For.
A Dame to Kill For.
What? Which is such a massive piece of shit. And I know this because just recently I went over on the Stu World Order podcast and talked with Stu there, randomly picked his whole podcast is pick 110 superhero films, pick three numbers, he tells you what they are, then you have to review one of those three. I got this, Batman and Robin from fucking Dragon Ball Z film.
Oh, fucking Dragon Ball.
So I went with this one. What the fuck are the odds? Seriously.
That's pretty harsh, my friend.
Yeah.
So I chose this one, The Least of All Evils, and Jesus, it sucks. The only good thing about it is Eva Green is A hot and B, she is doing well as the sort of femme fatale in her storyline segment. Everything else about this film, it's timeline is so convoluted and shit. Some bits are happening before Sin City. Some bits are happening after Sin City.
This movie, you warned me off it so bad with that review that I've never seen it. And
it's worth watching to see how big a train wreck it is.
I can tell you what happened, all right? Robert Rodriguez said, listen, I'm going to make the same bank on this because I'm a producer, but why don't you direct it, Frank Miller, who once did The Fucking Spirit, which is a piece of fucking shit.
Oh, that's terrible, I feel. Right? Yeah.
And so, it's Frank Miller said, okay, you write comics, Frank. You don't motherfucking write or direct movies well. So that's why it turned to shit. I reckon he gave him the reins and said, here. And then he came back and went, uh-oh.
It's like, you know, everything that was cool about Sin City, they're trying to double down on it here, and that ship has sailed.
Sin City was fucking awesome, right? And then this was, it's my ass, everyone.
So yeah, $65 million, worldwide gross of 39. I could not find the estimated losses.
Fuck, that's huge. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's pretty big.
From vague memory, the first one cost $40 million and took like $250.
Yeah.
So that's a huge downturn.
Nah, this is it.
All right, that's my number four.
Okay, my number four is Green Lantern, so we're going straight back to Jace on this one. Number three, son.
This is a movie I guarantee neither one of you have seen, and I guarantee you will never watch it. It is 2011's Mars Needs Moms.
Right, mention
this movie.
Okay.
Tell us about Mars Needs Moms.
All I remember, it was Joan Cusack as a mom, and some Martians tried to get her. And they sucked her up in a spaceship, and they got all the moms, and the kids needed to get the moms back.
Right.
And it was garish, hideous looking. I think this was DreamWorks or Imagination Studios.
Yeah, character
design,
it was
off-brand Pixar. On a budget of $150 million, this motherfucker made $39 million.
Whoa, that's a lot.
Estimated losses of $145+ million. And now, why is this higher than some of the other flops? Well, first of all, obviously, the losses are higher. But second of all, do you know how bad a kid's movie has to be for it not to at least break even?
Yeah. Mm.
Yep. Because you have a captured market.
That's right.
You put a kid's movie out, like Sing 2 is going to come out, at least in the States, during the holiday season. You pick a summertime or a holiday season release. You stick a family feature, especially if it's animated in theaters. It's at least going to break even. And then it usually goes in the black. It usually makes a bunch of money on home video. So these almost every kid's movie, no matter how shitty, is profitable. Mm. This is one of the least profitable films, not in animated history, film history. And it's animated. It has to be the shits. I've seen it. I don't remember anything about it.
I saw a still of it and remember thinking to myself, that looks hideous. Like the character design is hideous. It's weird. Yeah. I'm like, ugh.
That's a really interesting misstep, isn't it? Because you're right. Kids are not discerning individuals.
Yeah.
Kids will watch any fucking
It's school thing. Holidays. You have to do something with the damn child. Bring them to a goddamn cinema.
Bingo. And the reason why these movies are so profitable is because if you can get the kid, you got to get at least one of the parents or one of the adult guardians to take them.
Yep.
So you're getting two tickets for the price of one. What this means is a bunch of kids around the world saw this commercial, saw this poster, saw these fucking toys in a toy store and said, no, thank you. When has a kid ever said no, thank you to entertainment?
To
free, that's how bad
to
this
go
is.
To the movies.
And toys. Right.
All right. Well, there we are. That's one I won't be checking out. My number three is one I know Wayne's seen, and I reckon you'll have seen it as well, Jason. And I'm so glad to put it here because I hate this fucking director after he has burned me so many times in the last 25 years.
Interesting.
This is This is the most expensive film made outside of the Hollywood studio system in history.
Uh-huh.
It was $180 million I spent on this. It only made $226 million worldwide. With an estimated loss of over $80 million, it's Valerian and the City of 1,000 Drizzling Shits.
Oh, that fucking movie sucks.
Luc Besson.
That piece of shit.
Once again, trying
Luc Besson. Yeah. He's pissed off with Luc Besson. He suckered us in with La Femme Nikita and fucking Leon. Yep. And
Leon,
then everything turned
the shit. Professional.
What a film. Enough. And then from there, because I'm not a big Fifth Element fan, from there for me, it just fucking drops off the cliff. And this is the piece de resistance, the grand finale, his career. It is so bad.
Who's the lead again?
Dane DeHaan.
Okay, so Dane DeHaan is, I think, a good actor. He did,
but he's not a leading man.
No, he's not. No, here's what happened. No. Is he had this weird fucking way of talking. Like, he's trying to be cool or something, and it didn't work out. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Carla, is it Delevingne? Is
Cara Delevingne? Yeah, Delevingne. Yeah, yep.
Is the second, and she's...
I don't even remember her.
They're so terrible together. They've got no chemistry.
Zero.
He's constantly hitting on her. She's like, yeah, whatever, batting him away. I'm like, yeah, I totally get it. I would also bat Dane DeHaan.
No, but he does it in such a dickish way that even women would go, you know what? No. So, yeah.
It doesn't help that they look like siblings.
Yeah.
Or clones. They look... Dame DeHaan is the female, whatever her name is, from Suicide Squad. The Enchantress. Which is another fucking flop. She's a weirdo, and she's a terrible actress, and she sucked in this movie. And she sucked so bad in this movie, it made Dame DeHaan's weird voice that you just did perfectly almost passable. This is an adaptation of a French graphic novel, right, so. Paul? Is that where this comes from?
Because Luc Besson.
And it's supposed to be about these two lovers who go on these adventures and are supposed to be madly in love with each other.
None of that.
And it just looked like you stumbled onto Pornhub because Pornhub's always asking you to watch stepbrother, stepsister pornos. And allegedly. Like, I don't really know.
Yeah, none of those people are actually.
You're like, I don't know what this is.
That's what I tell myself.
I don't know.
That's not his mom.
None of these people are actually related, but here's a movie where the two actors actually look related. So if that's your kink, watch this movie.
Just don't tell us about it.
Yeah. There weren't enough people with that.
That's, I don't want to give any more time to fucking Luc Besson.
Okay, fair enough.
That's
fair
my
enough.
Number three.
Well, then my number three, we just talked about it, was The Dark Universe for me. That was, did we talk about it?
No.
Didn't we?
No.
Did I dream it?
You talked about Dark Phoenix.
Okay, fine. My number three, everyone.
Is The Mummy.
Is The Mummy, yes. Are you sure we didn't talk about it? Oh, shit. Jason,
there's someone here now to back me up.
That must have happened in my head.
Jason, have we talked about The Dark Universe?
I think you said something early on that made it seem like we were talking about The Dark Universe.
There.
And then you...
Excellent. Well, then this is...
Fucking moron. Like, oh,
this is new content then, everyone. We're talking about The Mummy, which was supposed to launch The Dark Universe. That's and it had Tom Cruise, and Tom Cruise is Tom Cruise. If you're a if you're a studio, you're like, hey, I got Tom Cruise. Everyone throws a party. Then he does it.
And it's not Jack Reacher 3, is it? No? Go.
Throw a party. Right, exactly. And then Russell Crowe and like a hot blonde woman. That was nice. And it was all supposed to be great.
I think that might actually be the chick from Malignant. Amanda Wallace? Not Amanda Wallace. Annabelle Wallace?
I think she was lovely. Yes, yes. Anyway, but that aside, you have a film here which I think, because the trailers looked really cool. It looked a little bit Mission Impossible. Remember he was in the plane and the plane went down and so he's floating around the cabin with her and it's like, oh, look at this exciting shit. That should have all worked. And you know he did it for real because it's Tom Cruise, right? We were going to space and shit, all right? So this was supposed to be like, then it was going to be The Invisible Man and, you know, Dracula Untold and Frankenstein, Your Mother's Snatch, or whatever it is, right? And all of that shit got fucking busted because it was like, this sucks so much, dick. I believe the $195 million price tag ended up with a $95 million loss. Not to mention whatever they promised all the people who were going to be in motherfucking Dr. Jekyll and my ass and shit like that.
Well, yeah, they had to pay out these future contracts. Right. So like Jason was saying before, that it there's where some of the money went to. Like, oh, we're locking you in. And then obviously they paid extra to lock them into these.
Oh, and you know Tom Cruise walked away with his full rack. Like, no question. So there's that.
Wayne, do you remember when they released that trailer that you're talking about? And they released it with different audio than the finished audio, and it was Tom Cruise's real scream, and he was like, and they had to like pull the trailer down from the internet.
Remember that.
Oh my god, if that's still available,
and then, on YouTube, would have to be.
I am
right?
Finding that shit right after the show.
Somewhere, yeah. And they put it back out with like a more manly yell where he's like, oh, but there's one where he's like, it's the best part of that movie ever being released.
Man, if I was in a movie, they would be replacing the shit out of my squelchy ass bitch screams. No question. I'd be like, it's a fucking mouse. Yeah, anyway.
All right, well, number twos. Here we go.
Here we go, Jace. Number two for you.
This is a movie that came out in 2018, and I don't even think Paul, who's an encyclopedia of movies, will remember this. It's about cities on roller skates going around eating smaller cities.
What the fuck? What movie is this? What?
on a budget of $150 million, brought to you by, not directed, bait and switch, produced by Peter Jackson, it only made $83.7 million with an estimated loss of $175 million. Oh, it's a YA adaptation long after anybody gave a shit about young adults. It's Mortal Engines. Yeah. Do you remember this?
What movie? Mortal? I've never seen it, but I saw it on everyone's list. What is Mortal Engines?
Oh, you just heard what it is.
Cities roller skate cities.
Giant mega cities on wheels go through a Mad Max landscape, basically Australia, and they devour smaller cities. Sydney eats Perth. What the fuck are we gonna do? Then Perth becomes part of Sydney to become an even part of a larger mega town on skates, and I don't remember anything else about the movie.
Wait,
because I never fucking watched it.
Another city?
Yes.
Does it like literally swallow it up and turn into a bigger city? Is there a mouth? What? What's going on?
From what I remember, and Paul, correct me because you've seen it, I think they absorb the resources and make it like they make a mega city out of it. So that
through osmosis
becomes even bigger.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some weird magical explanations for these kinds of, well, not magical, but ridiculous explanations.
So am I right? You're saying
then
yeah, go on.
The new people become the pores of the bigger city with the rich people at the top of this big city, but they are on wheels. So imagine Dallas, Texas on wheels eating Akron, Ohio, or like I said.
And there's a reason for that. Like, there's like the hellish landscape that is the world. Like you can't stay in one place or you get killed. I can't remember what it even is that kills you.
It's a YA novel series or something that got developed?
Yep.
Yeah.
Really? These kids will read any fucking
Melbourne
thing.
Melbourne eats Diggory Dooville.
Buddy Melbourne would too.
The only thing to save us is Paul Hogan. And
oh God,
he's seen better days. Ever since Paul knocked his dick in the dirt and punched him in the face, that guy's not been the same.
Right? And I love that you are pulling up 80s Australia references. Don't get me wrong. This is awesome. Shrimp on the body.
Did you know that Paul got into a fight with Paul Hogan?
That is not true.
Did you?
No. As if you wouldn't know if I had a fight with Paul Hogan.
I would have heard about this, yeah.
That's my favorite Paul fact, is he beat the shit out of Paul Hogan at the grocery store.
That's not a knife. Yeah, right.
That's not a fist.
It's not a fist, Cam. Yeah. All right.
My number two is one of the worst films we've ever reviewed on this podcast.
Mm.
And it came out in 2018, so for a small second there, Jason, thought you were going to tap in the same vein, but it didn't lose as much money as Mortal Engines did, so I see why that is so high on your list. This had a budget of $100 million. Worldwide gross was 65.5. We also contributed to this gross. Estimated losses somewhere in the order of $86 million, which suggests it only had about a $50 million advertising budget, which makes sense because no one fucking saw this piece of shit.
But
talking about the latest and hopefully last for a long, long time adaptation of Robin Hood with Taron fucking Egerton.
Everyone, this is great because I didn't mind this film. Paul notoriously hated it.
Jamie Foxx, that's it, playing Yaya.
That's right. Paul actually sitting next to me in the theater shat on the seat and walked out.
This film, it wants to reimagine fucking medieval times as the Iraqi war, where they've got repeating fucking crossbows.
The repeating crossbows were great. This guy had a mounted crossbow machine gun is all I can really. And I think it had a belt. I'm not sure how it worked, but it was so that it takes out stone walls, y'all. Arrows take out stone walls. Clearly made of vibranium or some shit. Right? It was fucked up. God. And I was like, that's cool. And Paul's like, you can see Paul just exhaling. Like that shit, all right? And it was like all over the place, man. And I didn't mind Taron Egerton because he used to shoot arrows behind him and take out things. And he's like, what you got next? Who farted? Wanky wank fart wank. Anyway, I actually didn't mind it at all. But of course, Paul hated it.
Oh, dude, I had it. Fucking Tim Minchin is doing his voiceover as Friar fucking Tuck.
Tim Minchin's in it, Friar Fuck. Yeah.
When Friar Tuck does come face to face with the hood, and you know, so Taron Egerton's got like something across his, but he's hanging around this guy, you know, through the court state because he's doing the fucking Batman thing, but he can't recognize him because he's got a little bit of cloth across his nose. Fuck off. Everything about this movie fucking sucks.
Actually, it's weird. They made the Sheriff of Nottingham. It made him a mining town, and all the people were in the mines. And shit. Like, what the fuck is this? This is completely off-center. But and I still quite didn't mind.
One line for my review. Wounds hamper villains only, while heroes strut around as if they're ready to run a marathon after only dousing arrow wounds with a mouthful of alcohol. That's the kind of level of film this is.
Please tell me there's a scene in which Robin Hood or one of his merry men jump sideways into the air with a bow and arrow and fires at John.
Almost
Lewis.
Oh, yeah. There is.
He jumps off a building, as I recall, and fires arrows in the air like fucking Triple X.
Oh, fuck yes. Now I know what Paul's going to be reviewing on 2022 of these movies. We're doing a deep fucking dive.
Oh, God.
It would be awesome. You just see the disgust on his face. It's fantastic.
All right, let's move on. Nice. Wayne's number two.
My number two is, I actually think is the worst film, maybe among the worst films I ever saw. And also among the biggest disappointments, because you've got Daniel Craig and Indiana Jones in a film. It's called Cowboys and Aliens, everyone. It was directed by Jon Favreau, no less, the man who is now the king of Hollywood. And it, $163 million budget, lost $75 million. And it's about God, I don't really know. It's set in cowboy type styles, but there's everyone's got a spaceship and shit. And Daniel Craig has this thing on his arm which can fire lasers. And honestly, I was watching it going, literally none of this makes sense. None of the scenes stitch together. Harrison Ford is just gruff for no reason. And it's
just, Harrison Ford,
exactly, yeah. But then Daniel Craig is even fucking it up. And this is post he was James Bond. So this is one of his in-between movies that he lets go. And it's this fucking log that he laid. And he's a great actor. This is, and John Favreau is a great director. And Harrison Ford is gruff. So this whole shit should have worked, and none of it did. It's like the biggest disappointment ever. I hate Cowboys and Aliens. Has everyone seen it?
I remember very little about it.
Your brain said, fuck that. There's clearly no point fucking remembering it.
It's better than Wild Wild West from vague memory.
Dude.
But wrong
I'll take
era,
Wild
obviously.
Wild West over this one.
Really?
For shit. Real. That's okay. How shit it is.
Wow. Jason.
I don't mean to be a downer, but my father passed away. And I think this may be the last movie I ever saw in theaters.
Oh, God, I'm so sorry.
I like the way Wayne said nothing. My dad died. Yeah. But the last one I watched with him was Cowboys versus Aliens. Holy shit, man, I'm so sorry.
Hey, I know where the pain comes from.
Yeah. So it's not about my dad passing. It's the fact that I took him to see this. And it's the last movie we saw in theaters together.
God,
I'm fairly certain. So
that's okay. You can still bond over a bad film, though, right? Me and Paul do it all the time.
No, it's just not a good movie. I think at one point, maybe this is a fever dream. Don't they put like shoes in the horses that are like anti-gravity, and the horses start flying or some shit? Did I make that up?
I don't remember.
Have, like anti-gravity horseshoes.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was that movie.
It was so shit. It was just like that. There was weird shit. Yeah. And it looks stupid as well.
Well, that's yeah.
No, it's a comic book. It was a comic book that they tried to adapt. It was a cash-in for the comic book craze.
That's how hard it is, people. Even yeah. John Favreau can't do it. So
well, again, yeah. it probably speaks to your point that some things on the page look cool as fuck.
Absolutely. And other it's all up to some so executive convincing another fucking board that this can work. Because sometimes it does work.
Yeah.
So, you know, what are you going to do?
All right. Well, Jason, run us through your 10 through 2 and then reveal your number one biggest box office flop of the 2010s.
All right. Coming number 10 to the dismay of nerds everywhere, including myself, Blade Runner 2049. Number 9, Fan Four Stick. Number 8, Jack and the Giant Slayer. I think that's the name. Number 7, Jupiter Ascending. Number 6, Cats, Assholes, and Elbows. Number 5, Terminator Too Little Too Late. Number 4, A Wrinkle in Time. Even Oprah couldn't save that one. Coming at number 3, Mars Needs Moms. Coming number 2, Mortal Engines. And I can do my number 1 now.
Hit it.
Yeah, hit it.
It's going to be anticlimactic because it is John Carter.
Yeah, okay.
It's one of the biggest flops of the decade. Paul stole my thunder. Thanks a lot, Paul. Go fuck
yourself. You're very welcome.
These things happen. Happens a lot on the show. Nice one.
Anything else you want to say about John Carter, or did you get it out?
I honestly think it'll probably be a repurpose at some point as a TV series for Disney Plus because we're not in the quality era anymore, if we ever were. We are in the content hours era. It's just about quantity. And I think you'll see it again. I think they'll try again at some point. Smaller budget, different cast. They'll make a TV series.
If they'll make a new Home Alone film, they'll fucking do anything Disney. So, yeah.
Really?
All right.
Okay.
My 10 through 2 then. At number 10, Fantastic Four. 9, Black Hat. 8, A Wrinkle in Time. 7, the aforementioned John Carter. 6, Green Lantern. 5, Jupiter Ascending. 4, Sin City, A Dame to Kill For. 3, Valerian, The City of 1,000 Pieces of Shit. Number 2, Robin Hood. Now, and my number 1, very close to Robin Hood. Very, very close. Hated it almost as much. But the estimated loss of this film pushed it over the top of Robin Hood.
Okay.
Because it lost $153 million on a $175 million budget, grossed only $148 around the world. It's Guy Ritchie's massive piece of shit, also set in medieval times. King Arthur, Legend of the Sword.
I like this one.
It is so bad. The only good thing about this film is the score by Daniel Pemberton's pretty good. It's also the guy who did the score on Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Yep.
But this is non-thrilling. It is boring. It is Guy Ritchie trying to bring some of his tricks to this medieval time. Doesn't work. Charlie Hunnam is a charisma and acting vacuum. And
he sucks
the entire fucking cast into his black hole and destroys everything before him on screen.
Okay, here's what happened, all right, everyone. There's a piece in the first act of this scene where there's, like, I guess, like, serfs or whatever in that medieval time talking a bit like Cockney gangsters, right? And I was totally here for it. I'm like, is this what the movie's going to be like? This is basically Lockstock, but in medieval times.
Exactly.
I'm here for it, right? I would have been fine. It wasn't that, though. It didn't continue to do that. What it then did was had Guy Ritchie do very sweepy, zoomy around type shots when people are fighting with fucking... And it was like...
Welcome to the Toys Technical
Zoomy
podcast
around type shots
about
is a technical
movies
term.
On the web.
It's like a dirty over. And that... To me, I'm like, look, it doesn't quite suit sword and sorcery type fucking action, but it was interesting to look at.
No.
The problem, and there was a scene where they led all the bad guys back to this monastery of fighting martial arts motherfuckers, right? And that was a great scene. That was a great fight scene. So here's the thing about Guy Ritchie. He does like three good films and then he'll do fucking Wrath of Man, which is so bad that you can't believe
Wrath
it's
Man's
real.
Infinitely better than this
Wrath
piece
of Man is my fucking vagina. I hate that fucking movie.
I don't know how it makes any sense, but okay.
Well, I don't have a vagina, so I can hate it. All right, so the that's a piece of shit, that fucking film. This is better than that,
nope.
Man. This
nope.
is better than that, son. Nope. At least this one you're going to laugh a little bit.
So wrong.
That
yeah, one was in horror.
Well, okay, I understand. A lot of people hated this one, and it flopped like a motherfucker, so you're probably right.
Right. Wayne.
I thought for sure Wayne was going to say that Charlie Hunnam could suck me into his black hole.
Yeah.
I listened to that entire diatribe, and not once did you mention his black hole. You got me fucked up over
I'm
here,
sorry,
Wayne. Just I when I think you're going to zig, you zag.
Always keep him guessing, mate. Always keep him guessing. I saw The Gentleman last night.
Damn!
I saw The Gentleman last night.
That's
fun.
Fine. That's way better
than
this movie.
That's a great film.
Way better than this film.
Anyway, same Charlie Hunnam. Okay, nice one. My 10 through 2. Is it me?
Yes.
It's me.
Finishing
okay.
off.
10, The Losers. 9, Dark Hat. Number 8, Gods of Egypt. 7, The Happy Time Murders. 6, R.I.P.D. Sorry, cunt. 5, Dark Phoenix. 4, Green Lantern. 3, The Mummy. 2, Cowboys and Aliens. And my number 1 was just briefly mentioned. It is, in fact, Tomorrowland. Now, does everyone remember Tomorrowland? Because, okay, George Clooney. George Clooney, I'm a big fan. I'll watch anything he's in, pretty much, okay? I even saw The American. Fucking boring, but I still liked it kind of because George was in it, all right? $190 million gamble, this film. And Disney had to eat a $100 million shit sandwich.
Ooh.
That's how much... But more importantly, now it's all about... It's a very interesting show, and I didn't mind it. What happened with the show was that for all the things it was supposed to be, it ended up being nothing. It was a lot of things, but it wasn't any one thing that made you like it. And I remember the marketing campaign for this. They took over Times Square. They took over all those billboards, all those things, Tomorrowland. They spent so much money on it. Brad Bird directed it.
Mm.
He directed not only The Incredibles, but the best Mission Impossible there is.
Wrong.
Ghost Protocol. And
he definitely directed a Mission Impossible film.
Actually, sorry, $150 million lost this thing. And it was just like, I don't know. I reckon it was a good time for George Clooney. Hugh Laurie was in it too. He probably had a nice time. But it just didn't go anywhere, and I really, really wanted this one to work. So,
hey Hugh, if you're listening, could you confirm whether or not you did have a nice time?
Did you have a nice time, mate? Did you see this one, Jace?
I saw it in bits and pieces with my elderly mother, and that's who this movie is for. It's for elderly mothers who are widows, who have nothing better to do with their time but to watch Disney movies that didn't perform well over 6 or 7 nights as it airs repeatedly on FX.
Just a misjudgment. And a $150 million misjudgment. You liked it? You didn't like it?
I didn't make my list because I didn't hate it the way I hate most of these other films. John Carter except it on my list.
No,
so.
I don't think it's that bad. It's just that I was just disappointed so much, I think.
Yeah, well, that... Well,
it's
yeah.
sort of dull and sad. It's
yeah.
a dull, sad movie.
I would agree.
And that's all it really is. It's
yeah.
just,
there were some nice ideas, but it just wasn't executed well enough to be interesting. So there you are.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's our list. And we're running super long, so perhaps we won't run through dishonorable
mentions. We've already talked a lot.
We've probably covered most of those across the way. So let's get straight into the final segment of the show where we hear your feedback as well as consternation on the topic at hand in a segment that we call the Pop 10.
Talk about Pop 10. Talk about
Pop 10. Kicking off this week's Pop 10 with Joey DiCarlo from the So Is It podcast. Check that show out. Number 3, Playmobil, the movie.
What?
Strip the Lego movie of any redeeming qualities, and here you are. At least we got to see Anna Taylor-Joy sing about pirates.
Oh, okay.
It's not a good film. He's 100% right. Fanforstic, as in
yes,
Fantastic Four. What more needs to be said about this colossal turd? A movie so bad it ended the Fox version of the MCU. There we are. And number 1, Jason... Mortal Engines.
Ooh.
I remember being at NYCC and they had a huge interactive booth and banners all over for this shot. I'm pretty sure that cost more than the movie made theatrically. So, yeah.
Boom.
Nick Horton said, I tried to cover all the bases just in case. Flops at box office, looking forward to rubbish. So Robin Hood, 2018, terrible. Green Lantern, loved the comic, so was excited, gutted how bad it was. And not one that none of us mentioned, The Lone Ranger, another I wanted to be great. It was not even
honorable
close.
Mention for me. Yes, it was? Okay. Very tonally weird.
Blake Jarvis said, hang on, trying to clarify here. Movies that bombed at the office we had expectations for that also creatively ended up sucking? Got it. Number three, Cloud Atlas. Woo!
I never saw it. I still want to see it.
I like Cloud Atlas.
Yeah, okay.
Number two, Blade Runner 2049. And number one, Tomorrowland.
Boom!
There you are, Wayne. And Blake also defended John Carter and Green Lantern as Rocky.
Damn.
Lee Allen Thomas said, John Carter, King Arthur, Green Lantern. Absolute tripe. Should have been the first films in a franchise, but bombed so bad they didn't bother. Then David Powell, Facebook moderator of our group and top level page of the show, said, I'm going to go all ways on this particular brief. Should have been great, but sucked ass. Glass, The Dark Tower, The Rise of Skywalker.
Glass, that was ass.
Highly praised, so I expected greatness. Didn't fucking get it. Those were not good. Popstar, Never Stop Sopping.
That was the best movie ever made.
Joker and Uncut Gems, the most overrated movie of the decade, according to David.
Who the fuck is this guy?
David Powell.
Fuck David Powell.
I'm gonna steal a Paulism here and just say shock horror. Shock horror.
Hey Dave, what the fuck, man? Shit.
What the fuck indeed? What the fuck, Dave?
And they're great movies that for one reason or another bombed at the box office. Mordecai, Hugo.
Mordecai was my fucking ass! Mordecai was shit, man. None of it.
Way to alienate our
Dave patron. Knows me. He's playing with it.
Well, apparently you don't know Dave. Who's this?
No, I just forgot the name you said because, you know.
Okay, yes. Number two, Cloud Atlas. And number one, John Carter.
So, I mean, you know, I haven't seen it, but word.
Sam Hurley from the Movies and 20Qs podcast. Check out Sam's show. To prove I don't love every Marvel movie, Dark Phoenix, The Mummy, and Fanforstick as well. So there we are.
He picked the two non-MCU Marvel movies to prove he didn't like Marvel movies. Yeah. Sam, come on.
That's right.
That's a good point.
That's right, man.
Matt Evans.
Bullshit on me.
You always pull the fast one. Jason's on to you, Sam. Matt Evans said, I'm going personally disappointed over box office. All the movie studio marketed it like a mother, but turned out to be a turd fest. Number three, Us.
Piece of shit.
Number two, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. I've never seen
never
that.
Saw that.
And number one, The Hunger Games, the whole series. I've only seen the first one. So.
Me too.
Scott Thornton says, as you'll find, not easily to do as I usually plop for a reason. Number three, The Good Dinosaur. My son's first movie obsession. I took him to see it. It's fun, but a predictable film.
Mm.
Pixels in 2015. Wasn't a fan of Adam Sandler, but I did watch this one day and loved it.
Really?
And number one, Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. I absolutely love this film. The action, comedy, game-related effects, Ramona Flowers, star-studded cast. It's got it all.
Now, there's a goddamn shame. Yes. Scott Pilgrim tanks, and it's one of the best films out. Forget about it.
Yeah, well, I don't know how well Last Night in Soho is going to do either, but more on that later. Paul Stead said, here are the three that let me down most. Crimson Peak. Eats ass.
Does eat ass.
Fanforstick again. Eats more ass.
Mm-hmm.
And here you go, Wayne. The Predator eats all the asses.
Which was the fucking Shane Black one?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a box of dicks.
last two then to wrap it up. Etienne Fillion Survey said Mortal Engines, Allegiant and Pan.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah. And Kristen Akara said Cloud Atlas fell in the trap of disappointing adaptation. Dark Phoenix number two. Still waiting them for the do Jean Grey story. Jean Grey's story.
Jean Grey, bro. Jean Grey.
Jean. Yeah, Jean Grey, you're right. Number one, The Man from U.N.C.L.E. I'll always be salty about this because it's one of my fave films and I can't believe it flopped.
Agreed! Man from U.N.C.L.E. is one of the best films ever made also. And it's the shit. So, you know.
Sorry. It's one of the best movies starring an alleged cannibal ever.
We didn't know that at the time.
That's a bingo.
And I'm sure he was just talking, you know.
He's gone into therapy and shit now.
Yes, he's done. He's done. Once people think you actually want to eat pussy, actually eat it. But that's no one likes that.
What? No.
That's it. We peaked.
Yeah, we have peaked. There is no better way to go out than that one. I think, Jason, thank you so much for joining us today. It's very late at night. It's cold in not so sunny Akron, Ohio. Tell the listeners about Binge Movies and where they can find you and all that good stuff.
Binge Movies is mental madness for movie maniacs. If you love movies, you watch a bunch of movies, then you'll love Binge Movies. We don't just watch horror movies. We don't just watch action movies. We watch it all. Paul's been on a ton of times. Search for his episodes. They're some of the longest and most highly rated that we have. I usually subject Paul to a bunch of dog shit movies.
Subject. I say torture.
But we don't just do bad movies. Ultimately, we leave it up to our listeners. We're trying to create a people's canon. You know what AFI says. You know what all the film snobs on film Twitter say. But we want to come to you, the people, and let you create your own film canon. We have a vault. We let you vote on the movies we watch, which movies should be preserved for all time, even beyond the end times. And if you want to know what else we got going on, just give us a follow on Twitter at Binge Movies. We're on Letterboxd, Binge Movies there, and just about everywhere else. We've got exciting stuff coming for 2022, and I'll talk to you about it on my own feed, so I won't take up any more of your time here. I just want to say this. This is one of the best goddamn podcasts on God's green earth, and these guys are legendary. I love their rapport with each other. It's an honor being with you gentlemen again. I hope you have me back. I hope it's not as long next time. And Paul, I can't wait to chalk it up with you about movies one more time. Wayne, I know you'll never come on, but I love you anyways.
Look, I'm a disorganized man, as you can tell from our late start this morning.
Jason, it's an honor to have you here. Thank you so much. Your show is amazing. And not, I don't have to say that because I've been on it, because I listen every week. I have to skip your instant reactions to films because they're still not released here yet in Australia. But the ranking episodes are where it's at, and you will get some real deep dive and learn some shit about movies, which I had no idea, because Jason does a ton of research and makes us look like babes in the wood when it comes to that, which is kind of a direct throw to the last episode, Bambi, and when you did the top 10 classic animated films. I'm not sure what you called it. No, not top 10, sorry, ranking the animated Disney films.
Yeah, you're getting our brands confused here. Yeah, I just did, we just ranked the classic Disney films, and as this episode drops all around the world, you're listening to the countdown, we're doing odd movies of the 1990s. Ooh, if you want to watch Heroin Aliens, if you want to watch whatever the fuck that guy's name is from Young Guns 2, Fight a Demon, and if you want to watch Freaked.
Lou Diamond Phillips.
Lou Diamond Phillips, yeah. Effeminately smoke cigarettes and fight demons. If you want to listen to a podcast that is talking about Dolph Lundgren fighting heroin-dealing aliens, if you want to listen to a podcast.
I like Dark Angel. Okay. We're there.
The Frighteners, all that shit. Yes. That's what's coming out as you're listening to this.
All right, great. And Wayne, how do listeners find us?
Google the Countdown Podcast. You will find us. Or send us an email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com.
We're on Twitter at TheCountdownPC. You can like and follow the show where we host through Podbean. And check out the Facebook community. We mentioned about 15 times today. The link is in the show notes. Wayne, we don't know what we're doing next week for episode
346. We don't, but we'll get back to you.
We'll let you know once we've worked that out. Probably would have done that had Wayne been on time.
Sorry,
Probably haven't, so here we go again. Thank you again so much to our guest today, Jason. Please check out his show, and we will catch you next time after we do this bit, which is me saying, my name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
My name is Jason.
And this has been the soundboard.
Let's just skip
cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Well, I have to go again because you just
eat some dicks. Eat all the dicks in the world.
Suck my dick.
There you go. All right, excellent. We'll catch you next time.